Matthew chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses 31 through 35. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when grown, is taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. He did not tell them anything without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will declare things kept secret from the foundations of the world. You may be seated. On Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses and the following verses in Matthew. We were looking at the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Jesus was speaking to the crowds, and he told them a parable. He said there was a farmer. He went out and sowed good seed in his field. He sowed wheat. But while people were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. Now, the weed that he's described there is a plant called darnel, and it looks like wheat until it starts to form the head. So it grows up, and you look, everything's green and growing, you're real happy until you find out that part of the crop is full of this darnel. These looks like wheat, but is not good to eat. It grew because the enemy had sown weeds among the wheat. Now, Jesus went on to explain the parable because as his disciples asked him in verse 36, then he left the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And so he explains that he is the one that sowed the seed. And the field is the world. Some people have used this parable to try to say that Satan puts wheat into the church, sows ones that are going to cause trouble. But Jesus is talking about the entire world, not with this parable being the church. There are other teachings about those that are false teachers within the church, but this is not what this parable is talking about. It's talking about how he's presented the truth, put it out into the entire world, but the Satan, he comes and throws in lies, trying to deceive. He even looks like that he's the truth. That tare, that wheat, imitator weed, looks like wheat until you see the fruit that comes from it. His servants, which Jesus tells us are the angels, come and say, "Didn't you sow good seed?" Yes. But the enemy came and threw this in. So the angels asked, "Should we go and pull up the weeds?" No. You might uproot the good wheat until the time of judgment, the time of harvest. Then gather all the weeds and throw them into the fire. This is reminding us that there's going to be a judgment day that's coming. There are a lot of people that are trying to convince other people, including themselves, that there is no judgment day. You'll have to never give account for what you do. Too often, we see throughout our society there are no consequences for wrongdoing. And so what happens? There is more and more wrongdoing. There are going to be consequences. There is a judgment day when every man will face a holy God who will determine where they spend eternity. We're not going to stand before God on judgment day, and everyone gets a reward. Some will hear from Jesus, enter into heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. But others will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Not that they lost their salvation. If you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation because it's not by your works that you're saved. But there are some people that pretend to be saved that aren't. Like those tares, those weeds. They pretend to be wheat until the fruit is produced. Jesus said, an enemy has come. Satan is active, trying to destroy the work of God. He's been trying to do it from the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, God had made a perfect place for Adam and Eve, but Satan came and tempted them. Some of the same temptations he uses today. Did God really say that? Doubting God's word. God really didn't mean that. Denying God's word. And you're smarter than God. The same thing that he uses today. We are not smarter than God. God didn't lie to us, and God hasn't concealed the truth from us. He has presented the truth for us because we need to understand that we will have to give account. And the only way on judgment day that we can enter into God's heaven is being forgiven of our sin debt. Some people say, I'm not a sinner. Galatians 3:24 says, the law is put in charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. God's commands show us that we are not good enough to get into heaven on our own. When you look at the Ten Commandments, they're a test to show us that we have the disease of sin. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus used the parable of the wheat and the weeds to show we need to be prepared for what's coming. One thing that's not included in the parable of the wheat and weeds is God is able to turn weeds into wheat. But that's a whole nother teaching. God talks about how he can take our heart of stone and make a heart of flesh. Jesus has explained the parable of the wheat and the weeds to his disciples. And then he tells another parable, verse 31. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when grown, is taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. Some people who want to try to make an excuse for ignoring the Bible, said that just proves the Bible's a lie. The mustard seed is not the smallest of all seed. Well, the garden seeds in Palestine at the time of Jesus, that was the smallest seed they had there. And to the audience Jesus is talking about, it's the smallest seed that they knew anything about. Now, there's a few other wild plants in other parts of the world that have smaller seeds, but Jesus is not talking to people in the other parts of the world. He's talking about those in Palestine, those in Israel that knew about planting things. He said, there's a farmer, he took a mustard seed and planted it in his field. He intentionally planted the seed. It wasn't an accident. It was part of the farmer's plan. is a small seed. It's just a little bit, one of the smallest seeds you can see. But when it grows within a year in Palestine to 12 to 15 feet tall. A huge plant from a little small seed. And he says, even the birds of the air come and make their nests among it. Jesus is teaching about things that people think are real small, but have a great end result. The teaching of Jesus, the Pharisees were against his teaching. They didn't want you to listen to them. Listen to him. They tried to say that Satan is the one that Jesus is listening to. Don't listen to Jesus. He's just doing all the things he's doing and saying all the things he's saying because he's in league with Beelzebub, with the devil. But Jesus alone had the words of truth. And he has come and planted the truth. It started small. One man died on the cross 2,000 years ago, rose again because his death on the cross was to bring forgiveness for each of us. From that point, Jesus rose again. 50 days after he rose again was a day of Pentecost. 120 people were there. The seed had grown from 1 to 120. Acts 1:15. In Acts 2:41, it says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What started as just 1 to 120 to 3,000. Now millions around the world have been forgiven of their sins, and millions through those 2,000 years have been forgiven. When I taught math, I asked my students, if you had a choice, would you rather be given $1 million or be given a penny that doubles every day for 30 days? Most said, I'll take $1 million. But if you understand about compound interest, the first day you get a penny. The second day, 2 pennies. The next day, 4. And by the end of 30 days, that 30th day, you get $5 million just on that one day. Plus whatever you got all the days before. As we tell each individual about the forgiveness that God has provided, it grows and grows and grows. Even during the time of the first century before Christ had been risen for 50 years, a man named Paul had gone throughout the world, and they said he's turned the world upside down because the message spread. Paul told people who told people who told people who told people who told people. That's what we're called to do. People say, I'm just one person. What can I do? You're like that mustard seed. You go and tell one more. Go and tell one more. Go and tell one more, and it grows. Jesus gave another parable. He said in verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was leaven. When I was in high school, I had a job before school. I worked in a bakery. And I made a lot of bread. Not financially. You know, it's not that kind of bread. Although that was a joke I used to say. Yeah, I'm just rolling in the dough. Yeah. I rolled the dough out. But it got to the point, I was the one that came in before the head baker, and I'd get everything started. Back in those days, I could take a 100-pound bag of flour and throw it around. And now I look at a 100-pound bag of flour and go, well, that's heavy. Okay, and that's about it. That's about as much as I do with a 100-pound bag of flour these days. But you take that 100-pound bag of flour, put it into a mixing bowl. You put in salt. You put in sugar. You put in a few other secret ingredients. And if you didn't put any yeast in, you had wasted your time because all you have is a flat pancake. It's not even a cracker because crackers have little air bubbles in it. But you mix that yeast in. You turn the mixing machine on and let that yeast mix throughout the whole batch. And then you set aside, and that batch is in the bowl about that high. About 15 minutes later, half an hour later. And if you don't take and start working with it, it's going to go roll all over the bakery floor because it's going to keep growing and growing and growing. The woman put the yeast into the flour. It was not an accident. It's made to grow. And it's also not only grow, but it infects every part of the dough. Notice it says she worked it, mixed it in to the flour until all of it was leavened. Many times in Scripture, leaven is used in a negative sense. Jesus told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, talking about their teaching. But the leaven of the Word of God is a truth that needs to be spread throughout the whole world. Everyone needs to hear the truth. It's not always popular, but it's the truth that we all need to hear. If you go to the doctor and you have a disease, you want the doctor to tell you the truth so you can get treatment. You don't want the doctor to lie to you and say, oh, everything's fine, when it's not. You want the truth so you can take action. Well, God has told us the truth. There is a judgment day coming, and we need to get ready. There is no way to be forgiven except through the blood of Jesus covering our sin debt. In verse 35, says he spoke in parables because it would fulfill what the prophet said. I will open my mouth in parables. I will declare things kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's a reference back to Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, Asaph, who wrote that psalm, was inspired by God to remind Israel that God has told them the truth. God has showed them his power, his protection, but they have continually ignored the truth. But God hasn't forgotten about them. Today in our world, Israel is surrounded by enemies, just like Scripture says would happen. The world is growing divided into two camps. Those that support Israel and those that support those against Israel. This is no surprise to God. God has said this is going to happen. We are in a day when there's nothing left that needs to happen for Christ to return. Israel's back in its homeland. There is technology where you can buy and sell with just a mark. Mark you don't even see. You can get a little chip and plant it in your hand. You just swipe your hand across the scanner. Just like you, the credit cards, you can tap it. Put your hand up there. And some people don't have hands, so everybody's alive got a head. So you can get a little thing in your head. And people say, this is good. Because people don't understand that God has prophesied this is going to happen. And warned us we need to serve God. There's a judgment day coming where everybody will stand before a holy God. Why should I let you into my heaven? God can ask us. Not because of anything we've done, but because the blood of Jesus has covered our sin debt. Are we going to live in a world that is turning its back on God, trying to please the world, or trying to please God? We are the leaven that's to go and spread throughout the world with the message of truth. It's up to us. God's not going to force you to tell the truth to other people. God's not going to force you into heaven. God could make you go to heaven, but he's not. He gives you a choice. He holds out an offer of salvation. Scripture says in Revelation, he stands at the door and knocks. Are you going to answer the door? Or are you going to pretend that Jesus really isn't there? The choice is yours. What are you going to do? Now, we have the benefit. If you look around you, there's all kinds of other people here to help you on that journey. You are not alone. And even if there was not another person you could see, God is always with you. We are never alone if we're a Christian. We are called to go and tell. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, not just those you think should be saved. God desires everyone to be saved. Stand with me for our closing prayer. I'll be here at the end of the service to answer any questions you might have. But remember, you have an opportunity to be leaven in this world. Your choice. God, I thank you that we could be here to share in our praise of you, to learn more about what you taught about your truth, to be better prepared to share that truth with others as we encounter. Let us shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of truth, as you'd pray in our situation. In Jesus' name, amen.